but this one that's free for me.
I suppose this is a good time to date the tape. This is Sunday, the fourth day of August, 1996. We're gathered for a business meeting, a little social time, whatever it is. Greetings, Commander.
Good afternoon. Hat on in light. Radiance. I come with my friends also. And I'm absolutely delighted to note that you're receiving from some of the professors so that there's not quite so much focus on whatever I might write or whatever Dorma might scribe. We have so many wonderful things that we could talk about today. Everyone's curious about the trial tomorrow. Nobody knows anything about it, including the victims. So we'll have to wait and see what comes up. I don't think anybody will want to miss it. On the other hand, the court system works according to the court system. And if something isn't finished or there are law and motions and so forth, and right at the last minute they can even assign you a new judge. So there's always the possibility that it will not start on time. Although I would guess that Judge Wallace is about fed up with his particular case in Kern County. Whatever the case may be that's left, Mr. Horn has managed to get so many things thrown out of the case or not to be allowed to be entered into the case that I would have to hear from the attorneys, you know, Brad and Jean, that play such games that I can't abide it.
Commander Sheen said the other day that the only thing they're going to do in court on Monday is to decide if it's time to have the trial. Make sure that somebody isn't contingenting it and this and that. He said, court won't even start on Monday. That's what Jean said a couple days ago.
Yeah, well, Jean also said that everybody's got to be there who is summoned as a witness, particularly, and that strings quite a few of you out there, because if you don't show up, you're in contempt of court. It's interesting, isn't it? They have more arguments to be had over what is in limine, what is limited. And Mr. Horn wrote up his version of limited. And, of course, it knocked out everything that Mr. Horn doesn't want in. Well, obviously, that's not going to fly. So that has to be argued. So the judge is going to have to take time before even choosing a jury. And then you do have to choose a jury. So it's very difficult to tell. And when ones are busy working, for instance, son Jane is busy. And yet Horn will have him sitting down there for the duration of the trial just to be miserable. To answer, at the most, two questions. So this is what we're up against. Not a justice system, a battle of attorneys and a judge after 8 years. Coming right up to the deadline, and then all of those last depositions and things, because they are not, have no relevance whatsoever to the trial, I mean to the case itself, will be put aside. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, because Mr. Horn was working with Mr. Green and Betty Tootin and Entz, etc. One deposition after another, absolutely and totally unnecessary, irrelevant. The judge throws up his hands and says, this is unreal. And yet Mr. Horn is able to go in and say, oh, you can't talk about those things now. Well, that's the case. There's been harassment for 8 years. They will rule out things like Mr. Horn has been the only lawyer for all of these entities since December, the first hearing in December of 1988, on the 28th, between Christmas and New Year's, was the beginning of this awful nightmare in the court system before Judge Jason Brent. So you're not supposed to talk about Jason Brent at all. when one of the most vivid mental states of duress comes from what Jason Brent did. And then Jason Brent said three times in his deposition, he violently, stressing it, violently dislikes these people. He couldn't give any reason why. Violent is a very, very strong word. Very strong indeed. So that needs to be resolved some way. Either the deposition be entered because his justiceship is in Spain until the 7th. All these people have volunteered their services, all of the records, all of everything, only to be sheltered. Doesn't sound quite right. You're not supposed to say that Mr. Horn represented these people prior to this case. Anybody. That is the problem. These are the problems. These are the mental harassments. And he ended up actually trying to get the sale or the no sale tossed out. Well, gentlemen, you know, when you ask where's the beef, there's a case. And then he's entered his version of the case, and it still says that Mr. Mitchell had a sale right there at that spot that day. And that's what they're going with. So, win or lose, what difference does it make anymore? You don't have a justice system. And whatever comes out of it undoubtedly will be appealed. And these people better be careful, because the attorneys, and this is now coming from judges, there are cases, it's now open for further. You don't need to concern yourself about this case, gentlemen, because they have so incriminated themselves into a conspiratorial arrangement. Don't worry, because you can come against them for conspiracy. In other words, the judge is going to help keep these cases going into infinity. Well, we'll see. That's the biggest thing on the mind of Brad and Jean, and possibly others, Karen, and it is not the uppermost thing on our mind. Today closes down your Olympic Games. They are already advertising for you people that it's going to be a spectacular. And by the way, it's been suggested that probably Mr. Entz, Mr. Fort, Ms. Beam, and Ms. Bunch will come down to attend the trial to watch the harassment and the Eckers get theirs. I hope that's true, because that gives opportunity then to ask the judge to put them on the stand. And that gives an opportunity for interrogating them. So I rather hope that they do that. I've asked that a videotape be brought down here, and they had to go home and get it because they had forgotten it. And there are more important things in this world than the ice cream. Not to Dorma, but to me. I'll give you pie and ice cream and strawberries and all of this sort of thing. It's rightful time and it's proper priority. But they have already loosed mosquitoes in the Atlanta area day before yesterday so that they would have one day to breed. I want you to know that what they can do is two things without anybody knowing. And they are doing their best to get everybody on all of the networks watching tonight's closing ceremonies. We are planning a major spectacular. It will be different and amazing and all of this kind of hype. And we'll do a moment of silence and reverence for the victims of the bombing. can't they decide whether there was a bomb or not? That comes through every now and then. Well, they weren't sure that it was actually a bomb. And so they harassed this guy, Jewel, until, you know, he doesn't know which end is up. They've got to keep it going, you see, laughter. And then there's still going to be a huge demand for a perpetrator. You got to hang somebody. So whether the man is innocent or guilty, long since ceases to be even an issue. It is what kind of games and attention you get and play right up to the close and beyond. They can and plan to loose viruses. They can do it two ways. If it rains, they can simply seed the clouds. If it doesn't rain, they've already put it into some of the misting systems for cool down. And they made sure that it would still be very, very humid there these days. So even if the temperature is not as hot as it has been running, you can either spread this stuff with the rain showers or through the misting systems where people go to cool off, these patio-type misting systems. And, of course, it can be introduced into any air system, air cooling system. But it can also be sent up in the fireworks and the balloons. Now, do they want for everybody to come down sick in a couple of weeks? No. They really prefer that not happen because that pinpoints it back, too. So you want them basically to simply be carriers so that you've got a situation where everybody is carrying this back home. And also with the infected insects, and they are releasing these infected insects in very strategic city areas other than there. So it is extremely important that we attend this particular film. It's called The Armageddon Bugs. And already they have said, you know, they feared an outbreak of dengue fever during the Olympics because it had worked its way up through Mexico to the border, and they expected it to come over the border. And then they talked about Atlanta and cases popping up in Atlanta and Florida. Well, those do not border Mexico. So all you have to do is listen to what they're telling you and you'll get a pretty good idea. So we need that. Then, I don't think we'll have time for all of this today. You wonder about religious aspects and unconditional love and love and love your enemy, love your friend, especially the Pentecostal approach, love, love, love your enemy while you murder him. Then the Pentecostal or the, let us call them the Southern Christian, I don't want to. I stress that, but I don't want to make it sound anyway at all. But I'm talking about the Tex-Mars type of Southern Christian ministry. Absolutely intolerant to anything else. Absolutely and totally intolerant to anything else, including Christness. Remember, Buddha was called a Christ because of goodness. What is Christness except Godness, goodness? So it all gets sucked into Jesus Christ. And then pretty soon it's Jesus. At the same time, you're tearing down the Masons and you're tearing down the Mormons and you're tearing down all other religions, Buddhism, Muslim, Islam, everything. Now, it happens that Buddhism, Buddha was recognized as a Christ being. Now, I'm not commenting on these. I'm laying you a foundation for what I keep flopping in your face. Tex-Mars knows it all. Oh, we mustn't be judgmental. And then he sets out to judge everybody including Lieutenant Colonel Commander James Bo Grites. And he will say, I have had Bo on my programs, and now he lies. Well, then Bo Grites comes back, and he had gotten a newsletter of Tex Mars, and he says, Tex Mars lies. So some wonderful Christian radio Christian, his name is Feinberg, was having Tex Mars on his radio program to talk about Tex Mars' book, The Circle of Intrigue, which is very good. Well, it got Tex Mars on there, and they didn't talk about the book. They started talking about Bo Grites. So Bo Grites gets on the phone and calls in and said, you are talking about me, Buster. And I want to speak for myself. I'm right here. Well, by the time you're through with the tape, your head is spinning. And you're going to get back on Bo Grites' side, I can promise you. Because before it's over, it's the same thing that people come in here, or they read the paper, or they read the writings, and they read exactly what they want to hear. Nothing more. And when they can take it and recite it with exactly what they want you to think and you to hear, it doesn't resemble what was said, and one can read what was said, identical words. The other can rebut, but what I meant was, but what you said was. And it is absolutely one of the best lessons that I could offer. And Dorma, listening to it, remembers all the nice things that Bo Grites has said about her on his radio programs, of which she's never participated. And she wants to say, nanny, nanny, nanny. And that's really not too nice a thing to do either. But the closer you get to Godness, Christness, without the flowery interpretations, the Bible is the Word and it says, and it's Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus is not God in the sense of what you're saying. Jesus was a man under all circumstances. No one even argues it. If this Jesus were of perfection, which I'll give you he might have been, he could only be referred to as the Christ did, or Christ-like, or Christ Jesus. Or Jesus Christ, if that's what you want to say. But you are not able to question, not with Tex Mars. The King James Version says, oh, and who is King James, Mr. Mars? Well, he had the exact interpretation done. Yes, he certainly did. The interpretation exactly according to what he wanted it to read. How do you equate nothing having been put to book for 300 years after this Jesus Christ walked the earth? Well, that's an error, and I'm sure that they just didn't compile it. Right, they didn't compile it. These are New Testament. Well, but there's all that Old Testament. Well, Mr. Grites can quote as many segments out of the Old Testament as Mr. Mars can. They just don't quote the same ones, do they? And yet you are a sinner. You better come back to God. If you are giving enough to allow a Buddhist, for goodness sakes, to have some acceptable spiritual relationship with God. It's Jesus. If you don't, well, now we're going to blast the Masons. We're going to blast the Illuminati were going to blast the Mormon temple, were going to blast everybody, and we didn't even bother to work on the Catholics in this. They ran out of time before they ran out of venom. Now, Mr. Greif says that he doesn't know much about the Masons, that he's not a Mason. Well, that's really up for argument, but it's very clearly understandable that Mr. Greitz, a learned man, has been everywhere. The man even speaks fluent Swahili. And he respects the Swahili. He doesn't believe in voodoo, but he respects the spirituality of these people trying to reach God. So that's out. That's bad. You just did it to yourself. But Mr. Greitz had a big pick with the Mormon church because he felt suckered. And he will tell you why. And you can order from Tex Mars for $10 his breakdown in his discussion prior to this one with Bo Greitz about that subject. And he says now Bo Greitz is trying to fiddle around and not renounce the church, but give them a break and all, for goodness sakes. And obviously this horrible man has chosen to be a hypnotherapist regressing people. Well, in 1980, Bo did participate in some teaching or some regression sessions playing with other people because he was studying with Gil Boyne at the Hypnotist Institute. What Bo actually said was, I don't know whether it's real or not, but some of these people will go back and come up with things that are real. But I don't even believe in reincarnation, so I don't know where they get this stuff. Well, that is a direct contradiction according to Tex Mars. So what about this awful Mormon church? Well, Mr. Greitz does a good job of what I've tried to tell you. Mormon in the Orient means Satan or devil, or Mormon means the door to Satan. So obviously Mormon, M-O-R-M-O-N, is not an ideal term to use over there if you want any hearing at all. And so this is spoken of. And after a while you feel very bewildered. Because where do you turn for truth? And then, obviously, within. But how do you learn? How do you learn? A child is going to go with what he's taught. From the very first time that Bo set foot here and spoke with me, Hathon, not Dorma, he said, I've killed. I've maimed. How do you ever rectify that? And I told him, God judges a man by what he is, not by what he was, and how he tries to make this right. And Bo's got a serious problem because you still want to wear all these battle ribbons that indicate I was a mighty warrior. To me, again, what the hell kind of warrior are you anyway? I made the bad mistake of saying I'm one who wins. And you don't do it through war and killing. Well, then that's betrayal. You betrayed me. Commander, you betrayed me. And then he goes on to slip again. He wanted to call me a reptile. But he said, the only thing reptilian about you are your chameleon colors. Simply because I ask people, we were right up against election, and there was one opportunity in all of your elections to come to overwhelm the fixed system and put Ross Perot in there. And you were being scattered by at least six other independent and libertarian, etc., parties, including Bo Greitz. there was not any way at all Bogreitz could win or any one of these others. But had all of those votes been put to the one with what was already there, Ross Perot had already won numbers-wise, but you never heard that. They said 19% is all he'll get, and these computer systems are so good, that's all he got. So, if you had just listened, but Bo could not stand it. Bo almost had an emotional breakdown following that election. And then he just dropped out for quite a while. He just dropped out. He didn't thank Simonette for running with him. He didn't thank the people who bothered to give night and day to him. And when questioned about that, he said, "Why should I do that? It's their country." Well, I don't agree with Bogreitz on almost everything, except his spiritual approach. And yet, until ego moves aside and spirituality is allowed to blossom properly, you can't mix it with war. You can be a strong, strong leader and he's got some other problems, obviously, with people who want to use him. For instance, this covenant community that he liked to call almost heaven, he and Jack McLam, and they peddled this all over, and people are very, very dissatisfied. They went to the mountain. Why did they go? They went because of Bogreitz, and Bogreitz doesn't even live there. He doesn't even go there. So Mr. Mars is going to hit him on that one, too. So I think this tape is the best teaching tape that we've ever had the good fortune to come across. We're not going to be able to judge everybody, people. And you know what sort of judgmental attitudes are on this earth. And you know what has happened to the corruption of the politicians and the judicial leaders. I'm not even going to suggest that the judge in point, starting tomorrow, is either immoral or anything. But by the time you get down to the case, you've weeded out the case. So both sides become the victims for some kind of a skirmish in a courtroom after uncounted amounts of money are invested. And they do everything then to keep it out of the insurance carriers' capability of covering it with insurance, because the case on that other side has been so abused up to now, and so incredibly much money has been poured into Mr. Horn and this case so far that they can't even afford to settle, do you see? So there are very few winners. So you can't even base your attitude on what is actually taking place in front of you. And it becomes almost a distraction from our real work that needs to be accomplished, because it is such an annoyance. Now, Rick was caught with another situation, as was Brad. And when you don't think they're connected, that is a real bad error. Knowing that Monday comes one of the biggest case, and knowing that Gene has been the backbone of this case, guess what Green and his brigade did? They came forth with a summary judgment for Rick to have to answer. But guess why they did it? Because George Green said that Gene Dixon has been doing all of Rick Martin's work, And so they hit it just perfectly while Gene was buried, and they're going to just walk away with this. Well, Rick just put his nose to the grindstone and sent off a package this thick. Beautifully done. Would make, I mean, that, I want to tell you, you don't know Gene Dixon. But to think that Rick Martin's work has been done by Gene Dixon is a compliment. I mean, a real compliment to Rick. Well, it didn't work out that way. And they gave an opportunity for people to respond to this summary judgment motion that I would not be surprised if the judge didn't say, well, there's going to be a summary judgment here, but it's going to be against you, Mr. Green. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, then you go a little further, and Brad Ellie has another case going. And so guess what they did to him? They hit him with a summary judgment. This means that you've asked for jury, but whatever your case is, if you ask for summary judgment, that means that you think you've got enough to go in and ask for summary judgment. And literally, Brad had enough to go in and ask for summary judgment in this case, and then all you've got to decide in front of a jury are the damages or the charges or whatever. You get rid of this other portion of the case because it is so cut and dried. Well, they blew that one out. They didn't get in there timely to do that. So now Brad is to his ears trying to get this one done. They pass a new law, which would get basically work done by Gene Dixon thrown out if they didn't catch it and get signatures and things saying something about the Bar Association and attorneys, and they needed verification that we knew that Gene Dixon, working on this case, was working in that capacity. They also brought a summary judgment attempt motion against Brad Ellie in this other unrelated case, so that he would have to spend most of the rest of this week answering that. Clever, dirty pool. Dirty. And there is at least one justice going to bat for this system. He says there is no justice left in the system. It's games. Rotten games. Destructive games. Well, there's some hold cards that happened so late in the game that now Mr. Horn is trying to accuse Brad and Gene of hiding documents, hiding information, and he's, by golly, going to get it kicked out of court. I don't think he can do that. This has to do with Mr. Cudd. Mr. Cudd died on Easter Sunday. Nobody knew. Even ones that these got acquainted with him through didn't know when E.J. found out and started making some calls. How interesting that the woman cleaning up his business, cleaning up his house, getting ready to move out, came across files. He was in the real estate development business. He was a businessman. That's why the relationship in the first place. So just to pin it down a little bit and let you know, they did not know until, I don't know, when, E.J., 17th, 18th, that this lady called and wanted to know about this note that she had found in the file. And it was the note for the money for this house. And, oh God, what do we do now? You are suffering through the throes of having lost one of the closest friends. And I call a friend somebody who's there when you need something. On the other hand, this is what Bill Cudd had said to Zach Haynes, who was the prior owner of this property. I owe them 10 times the amount of the house, and they'll have it. Well, now, wouldn't he be a good witness? He had also said way back then, anytime you need me, I'll be there as a witness. Because he could not come to the first hearing. So here's this letter that Mr. Horn has gotten tossed out because they took so many files out of the files at the court that he didn't want to be able to have any documentation that there was any money. Well, guess what? There weren't any copies of a cashier's check left because Bill had sent them all to the court, not even at the same time. But she found a subpoena where Bill was subpoenaed to appear at that December 28th hearing and testify. He could not do it. He was going to be away. Mr. Horn would not give a continuance to these people. So the letter in point was in response to that subpoena. Your Honor, please accept this as my testimony. And that's why the judge allowed the unsigned one after the signed one was removed from the file. So who took it? Mr. Horn or that judge that violently dislikes these people? So she also bundled up a death certificate. And rather than have it said that these people tampered with it, there has been nothing come through here. It went directly to Brad Ellie. So that there could not be anything said about arrangements. Or it can be said. It just won't sell. But the death certificate was not a certified copy. And an uncertified copy, I mean, obviously someone's run over to San Bernardino and faked up a death certificate just to get Mr. Horn. So they had to obtain a certified copy. So that's what all the flap's about. Mr. Ellie now has the certified copy. And Mr. Horn doesn't know what to do to get this all shut down. Because this becomes better than having Bill Cudd there. So there is still a case. But because of the agreements, the case will only encompass this little bitty circle of 3 months around that sale somehow. Well, I don't think so. I believe that they will figure a way to at least bring in all the harassment of these unlimited depositions. Why would it take 6 to 10 days to interrogate these people? Just the Eckers. So I wouldn't want to miss it if I were you. On the other hand, it can't very well be as exciting as an O.J. Simpson trial, although it may be even more. Who knows? But we need to move on. So we're very grateful to at least get this close to a trial. It's the closest in 8 years. And the promise always was, well, the Eckers will have a hearing. At trial, the Eckers will have a hearing. The Eckers will have a hearing. Oh, don't worry about it, Doris. You're going to get your hearing. You want to bet? Get on the stand and you can't talk about this. You're in contempt of court if you mention that. What kind of a hearing is that? So we'll see. Meanwhile, you're right up against a close down of your system. Your Congress just left. Left the 3110 or 3130-10 executive order hanging out there. That turns over the responsibility of the administration, the presidency, to the Defense Department. It didn't even get raw notice while Congress was still running around there in Washington. Now that they're gone, it will pass with nothing. And it will, and then the Defense Department, according to the way it's worked over here in Atlanta, will fall to FEMA. And that will become effective because there has been nothing against it. It's a totally illegal, unlawful order from start to finish. The order itself is unlawful because there are prior executive orders which cancel out the ability of anybody to do what Mr. Clinton just did on the 15th, ratified on the 17th, so that on the 17th of August, it becomes law.